why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward. Welcome back for another installment of Beards and Comics. This is the second half of the conversation that we had with Matt Cargill from Sierra Nova Comic Con. We hope you guys really enjoy this, and it was a lot of fun. Let's jump right into it.
My main goal this campaign was I want to make another one, right? Mm-hmm. And after day one or the first weekend, you know, I know now I'm making another one. And that's great. Despite the imaginary problems I created with this campaign or with my writing or whatever, to make myself feel bad about doing something good or whatever the reason is that this whole experience has been, you know, almost therapeutic. Like you just, you know, you're doing something you wanted to do, hit or miss. You know, I've done stand-up comedy. This is why this is part of the comic. You know, I went and I did some open mics, and I did this 10 or 12 times, and I have zero regrets about that. It didn't work out. It became, once you start to know the real process of that and what it is, I realized, you know, for me personally, I can't speak for everybody, that's a younger man's game. I have too many filters now, you know, being at the time, my late 30s and having a family and having daughters. Now there's things I won't joke about. So yeah. I feel like you have to, you know, eliminate those filters when you're younger and you're 20 and you kind of walk that line and you push the envelope a little more. But it was a blast and I have zero regrets. In fact, I'm proud of it, even though I don't really like to watch the videos. You know, that's just my own personal thing, but you know, I have a couple mementos in there that it's awesome. And now I'm going to have this book physically in my hand. That's what I told my wife getting into this was, you know, there's a chance I'm just going to spend this money and we're going to have one book sitting on my nightstand, you know, but she's like, it's something you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's been the reward. And knowing I could do a second one is personally, that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. It's one of those things too, where I just had to do it when we were talking mm-hmm. about it. I was like, I just want to make a comic book. I've done other things and it's just one of those things that you want to check off. Like, it's just, why would I not want to do it? I mean, and you think in the grand scheme of things,
bye Joe,
$2,000-$3,000. Bye Joe. Love you. but yeah, in the grand scheme, like, $2,000-$3,000. I mean, like a little bit at a time. That's why you do it a little bit at a time. So it's not a big old huge chunk if you don't really have to. I mean, it's for something to have physically in your hand to say, I did this, I made a comic book, is something that not everybody's going to do. You know, it's like, it's just a self-esteem / mark it off. Check it off. What's next?
You're also about to hit that whole, well, you already have that whole new level of kinship with other people who have run a crowdfunder. Because when you get through that, all those people that have run crowdfunding too, like you understand what we're always complaining about and what we're always stressed about. And so it really does bring that kinship together. And that's how we've made a lot of the friends that we have now. It's just, yeah, they struggle bus just like we did, and now we're struggle busing together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough to convert, you know, all these followers or people that like your page. And
yeah,
and, you know, that was one of the I don't want to say letdown, but I thought like, hey, you know, here's this many, I got 300 likes on my page and 12. Some people are just nice. They'll give you a like and move on. A lot of people, I would say most people. And then,
dude, we have 2,500 people on our Facebook page for Catalyst. And our last campaign was 77 back or 78 backers or something like that. So it's like, where's everybody else? But it's like you just said, there's a lot of people that do just like it and move on. And then you're also battling different Facebook algorithms. And if you're like me, then at some point during your campaign, you get banned off of Facebook for sharing too much, or, you know, if you don't wait that whole 24-hour clock between shares on certain pages, then you'll get like a ban for 24 hours and it's chaos.
Yeah. Social media is weird.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I definitely haven't figured it out. My wife even asked me last night, she's like, maybe you're shadow banned. I'm like, what is that? You know, like
she must have been listening to some lives. Yeah.
She said, sounds sexy. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it sounds like a cool character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's all a tricky beast, but it's fun. I mean, it's so fun for us. The campaign is the stressful part, but then, like, dude, when you get those books in the mail, it's emotional, man. It is every time now, still. It's still emotional because it's like, oh my God, this is a physical thing that I actually did.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, I'm really excited. I was excited to check out paper samples from the company that they sent me. I was so excited to look at the stack of paper and feel it.
Oh, you did comic impressions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got uppity. I know you did. You were like, this 140-pound card stock just may not work.
It is a hilarious discussion because that's what we had to talk about is, well, which of these are we going to use? It just makes you feel all, I don't even know, bougie or something.
Yeah.
But
holding a glass of wine and fixing your monocle.
Also, how
good. I choose glossy paper.
How well put together is that sample pack? It's insane. It was insane for us.
There was a lot to look at.
Yeah. And you get to feel it all. But That's a new trick that you're going to be doing.
Sample books, sample books, and
yeah, the new trick that you're going to be doing now is finding those deals for getting all your stuff filled. And you know, I tell people that a lot because there's a lot of people that use the same place every time. So for printing, I see no reason why we'll move on from Creative Impressions because it's the quality is fantastic, better than anyone we've printed with before. They're also super easy to work with and their prices are really well put. Some of the other stuff though, like stickers, the enamel pins and stuff, I keep telling people and they don't listen, shop around. You never know which website's going to have deals at certain times. And you know, we're getting it to the point now where all of our extra stuff, we are getting within like a $400 or $500 range to fulfill all of that. And it's just a matter of shopping around with different companies and being willing to try somebody else for all that sticker and all that stuff. Because they're all big corporations anyway. They don't care if you go somewhere else. You're not a valued customer.
Yeah. Right. We do this is the good thing, though. So if you're going to start, you already know you're going to go into a next campaign. You can already start thinking slowly. And like Aaron said, keep an eye out for when those sticker deals hit, because now you already got stickers that you can go ahead and get printed at a really cheap price, have them ready for the Kickstarter for your next one if you want to do that, which is that's what we do. We already know we're doing Tilt 3. Well, we know we're going to do Tilt 4. Well, we know we want, you know, enamel pins. We order those early. We already know we could sell the Tilt T. You know, just the logos of the characters and then have extra on back stock, you know, and get a good deal because we order early or do things like that. You know, it's thinking ahead and setting yourself up so you're not like last minute pumping all that money into it at one time. But of course, you know, that's if you plan to keep pushing up, you know, the comic and go to a trade or do however you're planning, how far you're planning to go with it. So.
How are you looking at it? I'd be curious to know where your mentality is now. You've said that you know you're going to do the second issue because this has went well. Are you still taking it on an issue by issue basis, or are you already planning this, like maybe first arc or however many issues that's going to be?
Yes. No, I have plans on an entire story that truthfully I can, there's wrap-up points at any points, you know, to me, I looked at it like, you know, if I keep going and then eventually people are like, all right, you know, we're enough. Well, then, you know, then I'll wrap it up for myself, you know, and try to anybody that's still, you know, which I hope I don't have to do that. But, you know, that reality, you don't know, right? You don't know how that's going
to go. I mean, it's the nature of the beast, though. It's understandable, especially in indie. You know, we're not putting out a book every 2 weeks or every month. It takes a lot longer. So, you'll get a base. You'll have those people come back. I've told people before that whole myth of like, oh, you got to turn around books this fast for people to stay on board. It's crap. I mean, that's not true, because if people like your product and they like your character, they're going to come back. I mean, we've noticed that. And, you know, for us, we got Tilt 4 is going to be next summer, but that's the end of that story arc. And then we're putting Tilt on pause while the other stories in that universe catch up. And so, you know, there's probably going to be some people that miss Tilt. In the long run, though, we're also going to put out the trade, so then people can get the story that way. But it's going to be a while before we see Tilt again. So for us now, it's like, okay, well, what other books can we put Joe on? Because he's one of the ones we've talked about before, where it's like we don't want to lose that relationship, that working relationship with him. We want to keep him working, and we want to keep him working with us. So for you and your goals, I know you're writing the comic. Are you planning on? I know you have it under an imprint name. Is that going to be an actual company name, or are you using that for the purposes of the comic?
I have another idea or two that I would like to eventually, develop. But as far as right now, no, I'm so excited about the story that I can't wait to write it, and I can't wait to see it. So, to get to the points of the stories that I'm excited to get to, all my focus is going to be on the comic. And because, you know, this is where I want to, you know, learn my process. This is where I want to fine tune my process. This is closer to home. These characters are based on things that, you know, really appeal to me, real life experiences, real life people. So it's easier to write, and then learning the process. And then when I try to tackle something like I have an idea I'd like to do for a horror comic, you know, like, that's going to take more research. That's going to take more effort. And I don't want that right away, if that makes sense. I don't want it to feel like, boy, this is not as much fun to write, although it might be when I get to it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you won't know until you try it. For me, I never thought I'd write a horror book, and then I wrote it, and the trick for me was that it's more falling into a dark fantasy style than it is horror, but it has the horror elements. But once you try it, you'll know, like, oh, well, this is something that I enjoy and would continue writing. There's other stuff that I've started and not had enough passion behind it to finish because I just don't feel like that's what I want to do. So, I mean, it's just a matter of starting and then seeing how you feel about it.
Right.
We do have a question. Somebody, Keith, just asked, what's each of our favorite comic book characters? So, Matt, what's yours?
Mine's definitely... Well, obviously, I think mine's always been Batman. Always been Batman. And my mom said it was one of my first words, that old campy Batman show, I guess, used to be on one of the local channels when I was real young. And I remember I've seen pictures of my first birthday at a Batman cake. But I've always liked Batman, solely because he had every reason to be a bad guy, but he wasn't. That's one of the things that really appealed to me. And when we were younger, the old animated shows that used to air, Superman always struggled in those animated shows. And, you know, he had superpowers, but Batman never did. He hardly ever got touched. You know, he just dominated. So I never understood that.
It's that money, stupid man. People Batman. Can't get. Yeah, he must have had a money bubble. Lower Matt.
Wow. I've always been a Spider-Man fan, but I've started growing more towards Daredevil. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot more of his stuff, and I just really started liking Daredevil. And more it's just. It's a cool character, and I've been reading the Frank Miller run, and it's just like this is pretty amazing. So
yeah,
and just seeing how he draws and all that and his writing. So yeah, I'm more
mine
of a,
is
I'm going that way.
Mine is Nightwing is my top. Trained by Batman, and I can't neglect that. But Nightwing had a huge influence on the personality behind Tilt and that whole. I guess, childlike innocence, but, you know, doesn't even realize that people think he's super attractive and all that stuff. So, that kind of beefcake layer. I always identified with Nightwing in the mentality space because he's super sarcastic. He's pretty much Spider-Man grown up as far as his mentality, and then the acrobatics and all that kind of stuff. Just always a cool character. I think he had a really interesting story arc, and he's had some good writers along the way. And then, yeah, on Marvel side, Spider-Man, just he's always been the guy that I've been driven more toward. In recent times, I want to say the one that I've enjoyed most out of like newer big two would be like Cosmic Ghost Rider has just had a fantastic story, and it's freaking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that brings, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so when I decided I was really going to do this, I started hitting the local shops and I wanted to see what's out there. Right. If you're away from the comic scene for a while, like I was, there is so much out there. And I wanted to start getting into this. So I'm like, whoa, there's, you know, Spawn 300, you know, because I remember I like Spawn a lot. Spawn mm-hmm. 1 was around that time. And I was like, well, I'm going to start kind of picking up some of these and getting familiar with the story. I'd come back with these stacks of comics and it start, you know, when you're trying to fund your own comic, you don't really have time to start getting into the trade
yeah.
at that
mm-hmm. time. Yep.
It's being expensive. But there's so much stuff out there. And then I made this mistake recently. About a week ago, I finally watched season one, episode one of The Boys on Amazon, which I had never read. You know, like, again, I missed all that. And just watching that now, I really want to go back. And I mean, I thought it was, you know, to me, the best of the superhero movies or TV shows. That, I mean, it just checked all the boxes for me. It was amazing. And so I'm really into that. And it almost made me want to go, like, what am I doing? You know, it's already been perfect. It's already been done.
But they nailed it. What's interesting about that is then there's that side of people that watch it and they just don't like it. I mean, it's everyone has different tastes and you're going to find the stuff you identify with. I didn't get that into The Boys. I do think it's fantastically written. I just didn't get into the show that much. But but then there's that side, especially now in season two, like people just like, oh my God, if this drags on any longer, I'm going to back away from it. And so it's nice to see those companies still have to struggle with that same thing about pacing storylines. Look at The Mandalorian. There's people that say the same thing about The Mandalorian. It takes too long to get there. And my argument back is, well, it's a space Western. It's a completely different style of television show. And everything is building towards something. I'm okay with the wait. Especially, I think, when you're an indie comic creator, you're just used to waiting for everything to get done anyway. So,
yeah. And, when it comes to Star Wars, what's wrong with the wait? Have you seen what else we've been getting? I mean, let's enjoy
it. You see what happens when you want stuff too much? Keith, what's throw your favorite character in the comments, too, because I'm always interested to see what people come up with.
Yeah. So real quick, though. Who was your influences for writing comic books? Who was the ones that really made you go, you know what? I would like to do this.
As far as comic book writers, you know, probably none of them, although not currently. Writing has always been something I really liked. I remember, like The Sopranos was a big show, and the way some of them episodes are so well written, you know, there's sequences in there that I think like, man, that is an amazing, it's an amazing way to get to this point or whatever, or anything well written, or especially things that are well acted and well written, you know, or Game of Thrones, which up until they got off book, like just the storytelling itself of how I didn't get into Game of Thrones because I didn't think I was going to like it. I didn't really get into Lord of the Rings too much. For my mistake, I just kind of ignored it. Like, you know what? I don't want anything set around there. If there's a dragon, I don't want anything to do with it, you know, because of Lord of the Rings or whatever. So my wife got into it, and I sat down and I watched an episode of season 7 or whatever. And mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know what? That was a pretty cool battle or whatever was going on. I'm going to go back and watch.
Dang, the masses were right.
Yeah. It takes me a while to flip my armor. But I went back and I watched episode one, and things they talked about in episode one set up what was happening, you know, six seasons later in episode seven. I thought, well, this is a well-written show. So as opposed to, say, The Walking Dead, which had a good run and now just kind of limping on, and I think like it's pretty lazy how that happened, and I just there's some things that happen on that show in particular. But as far as like the people that I like to were really good writers are, you know, like Dan Brown, like the amount of research he must have to do to churn out those books, you know, but he's telling stories about things that I would never have interest in, that all of a sudden interested in it. And that kind of stuff, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not writing anything like that. There's not going to be any wild code chases in the comic, but I just kind of want to write what I want to read.
It's fascinating to me that you're, it reminds me a lot of myself, though, because people ask me that question of what comic book writers inspired me. But I was more inspired by novelists and even movie writers as well, because growing up for me, like Star Wars, that was my jam. Doctor Who was another huge jam. And it was, you know, Count of Monte Cristo is usually my name on these live streams. And that's because it's my favorite book and it's my favorite movie. And they're both very different between the book and the movie. But still, in their respective categories, are my favorite. And it's so much more about what they built. Because when you look at Star Wars, even the bad stuff, what they created and the world that they built, the universe, galaxies, whatever you want to call it, it's so involved. There's so much going on. And at any time, you can just switch to a completely different character and have a full different storyline, as we've learned from The Mandalorian. And so that kind of stuff has always been bred in me that's what I want to see. I want to have these little characters that show up in my comics that you don't even notice at first, but later on, oh, that's been a character this whole time that actually mattered. And so for me, I'm the same way. Those, you know, novels, Dan Brown, like Angels and Demons is still one of my favorite pieces of literature. I didn't really care that much about the other stuff, but Angels and Demons, what he did with it, because it's something that's always fascinated me anyway, the Illuminati and all that. But it's very inspiring when you find, especially newer
now
writers.
You're about to get shadow banned.
Shadow ban me. I don't care. I'm on SNCC's podcast right on their channel right now. We're not on my Facebook. Sorry, Greg, if you get shadow banned. but yeah, that's cool. That's cool to hear that, you know, somebody else, their major influences come from outside of comics. I do have ones in comics, for world building, just like Neil Gaiman, Tim Seeley for the Nightwing stuff that he did. But most of mine's just like that. It's out of novels and out of, you know, I have stuff in Victorian literature too. That's always been a part of stuff that I've always read. Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's another big one for me. That's the way it's written. I want to write a comic book in that same kind of verbiage. The way he wrote it is so different for a novel and for a story, the way he speaks in the story and everything. And you don't really see anything like it in comics. So.
I mean, I think I will, you know, especially like I said, getting back into it. There's a few books that I did pick up, just because I wanted to have something, you know, and Three Jokers had just started, and I can't say I was blown away by that, but, you know, I thought, well, I like the covers. I'm going to go all the way with this one. But to me, ultimately, I think it was more of the same, more of nothing, if that makes any sense.
You know, but that's one of the reasons I like what Donny Cates does when he – I haven't read anything really recent from his, but like what he did with the Carnage and Venom stuff. It's such a, you know, let me take something people have known for a while now and then just completely wreck their brains with it. And that, because that's exactly how I look at stories. And for people that read the Catalyst stuff, you'll notice most of our endings are cliffhangers, or most of them, everything kind of flips and twists and you're like, oh crap. And it's just that kind of mentality. He has the same kind of mentality where it's, how do I get this to a point where it leaves you knowing that you have to pick up whatever the next thing is to find out what happens. Not that every single issue needs this massive cliffhanger, but it's more fun if you do.
I'm kind of, you know, I have these things, these stories that, you know, I have seeds in issue one that I like, but again, I know where this is going. This, somebody could pass right over this, right? And not realize.
But part of you wants them to, you know, right? I mean, for me, part of them wants to miss these little seeds, these little beats, because then when all of it comes to fruition and they go back and they're like, oh, well, he was dropping these hints the entire time.
Yeah.
I live for that stuff.
You know, he works, you know, speaking about issue one again, is like I said, he's starting out in comedy. He works pretty, you know, like I said, he works blue on the stage, but he works pretty dirty. And at first, coming across this, it just looks like, oh, you know, this is just dirty jokes. I mean, they're not, I don't want to put anybody off of it, but they're more adult jokes. There's, you know, but that's part of something, you know, that's part of growing, you know. Comedians, they're going to grow. They're going to work on stuff. They're going to look back at what they did at the beginning and go, man, that's all part of it too, which I'm excited to explore. But that's like just a story in itself that's just a part of the story, you know, and the characters too, you know, that's around him. There's so much more, which I think is exciting. It's just fun to write. But then to me, I just feel like, did I do enough to, you know, get a reader invested like that? And maybe it's going to take two or three before they pick up on it. But I think once we get there though, you know, they'll be excited.
But see, you're already willing to put in and do the next one. That's a big difference. Not a lot of, I'm sure that, that Joe said it to you before, but there's not many books that even make it past issue one, even less past issue two. So being able to understand what you want to happen and be willing to put in the time and sometimes money to see something through all the way, I think that's a big feat. And I think more people need to, I can't imagine how many awesome stories have been axed after one or two issues. And if they had just finished that full story, they may have had something that popped off. I think about that a lot because it's something that terrifies me. It's what if I put all this effort into an issue of one of these stories and just zero response, and then I never know what's going to happen next. Oh, dude, thank you, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
I just threw it in the private chat so you can throw it in there, but I think you're already doing it. But yeah, definitely check out Matt's Kickstarter for the comic. You know, we've said it before, and it's important to know, you don't just get the comic anymore. Now you get what is it? Four comics now.
Yeah. You can get Tilt Number One and Welcome to Neverville
compliments. 19 away. What is it? Yeah. 19 away from, getting two more. Is it two more?
Yeah. Yep. Two more.
Yeah.
You could wind up with six. Let's wind up with six. Let's get to 100 and do that. But it's already off.
You're getting real close to four. You're at 38, 22.
Yeah.
5 days left. Yeah, man. I mean, you'll probably see the bump in the last little bit too. I will say you hit at such a good time. You hit when a lot of November, I think a lot of stuff fell right at the end of October in the early November part. It's when a lot of people that we know had campaigns and those finished up. And so hitting at that time was awesome. I'm super excited. I'm so glad that this has gone well for you, especially being a first campaign.
Yeah.
Greg, if you want to jump in. Beards and Comics Podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. For more information about their work, check out catalystcomicstudio.com. Or if you want to get involved with the Beards and Comics discussion, jump over to Discord and look up Beards and Comics.